So do you consider yourself the anthropomorphic type? Folks who are anthropomorphic often ascribe human characteristics to non-human things, such as animals. I think most of us think that way from time to time, even if we know we're not serious about it, or maybe it's just that we buy into what we're fed by the media this way. For example, what would come to mind if I mentioned an owl? I'm guessing a lot of people would go with wise. You know, the wise old owl? Because that's an image of the owl that's been promoted for as long as I can remember. A lot of animals carry with them a well-recognized trait or set of traits that's completely human in nature and having nothing to do with the animal itself. Owls are wise, snakes are deceptive, and coyotes are clever, though the level of clever can range from wily coyote to something a little more along the lines of a fully furred, quadruped Sherlock Holmes. So what animal would come to mind if I described it as a graceful but seemingly lighthearted denizen of our area's rivers and lakes? Is there any chance those few adjectives conjured up river otters? Welcome to Bristol Bay Field Notes. I'm Terry Fuller, education specialist for Togiak National Wildlife Refuge. If you've spent any time at all on the lakes and rivers around Bristol Bay, there's a pretty good chance you've had an opportunity to watch river otters in action, whereas they're a pretty common area mammal. In fact, river otters are pretty common across many parts of not just Alaska, but North America as well, including most of Canada, much of the Pacific Northwest, and the eastern third of the lower 48. River otters are members of the weasel family, called Mustelidae, and they certainly look the part. A semi-aquatic mammal, they have a long, slender, but muscular body with short legs, small ears, and a short face. The tail is powerful and long, tapering to a length that's as much as a third of the total body. The hind feet are webbed, though the front feet are not. They're one of the larger members of the weasel family, with adults weighing as much as 30 to 35 pounds and growing to nearly 5 feet in total length. Males are larger, with females coming in at about 25% smaller. An otter's nostrils and ears close during times when it's submerged. The fur is short and very dense. It has a glossy appearance and can range in color from light brown to black, with undersides that are a gray to buff in color. As with other members of the Mustelidae family, otters have scent glands near the anus that produce an unpleasant smell. River otters, also like their other Mustelidae brethren, are carnivores. They hunt on both the land and in the water, and eat pretty much anything in either place that they can get their paws and jaws on, including snails, clams, insects, crabs, frogs, virtually any type of fish, birds, and small mammals. Also, they are always on the prowl due to the fact that they have an extremely fast metabolism. Whatever is eaten often makes its way through their digestive tracts within the hour. With that fact in mind, allow me to be a little anthropomorphic. It kind of sounds a lot like teenagers, doesn't it? Any kind of food, any time, all the time. But I digress. Otters are well equipped to hunt from the water. They seem to have very well-developed senses of both smell and hearing. River otters have the ability to remain underwater for up to 8 minutes at a time. To be able to do this, they can essentially shut off both their nostrils and ears to keep water out. They can also swim up to 7 miles per hour and dive to depths of over 60 feet, a combination that can allow them to travel underwater for close to a quarter mile. Their vision allows them to see potential meals while swimming in the dark or in murky waters. Their whiskers are also critical and are used for detecting vibrations and proximity of potential prey. In addition to their vision and vibration-detecting whiskers, river otters also have a very keen sense of smell, especially when it comes to fish. If there's a school of fish anywhere close, it's a pretty good bet that they'll be able to track them down with their sense of smell. Otters can be gregarious, which I'll talk more about in a moment. And several otters will sometimes come together to make fishing a cooperative effort. Small fish are eaten at the water's surface, but larger ones are taken to the shore to dine on. Live fish are normally eaten head first. River otters are not scavengers, like some of the other members of the weasel family. They seek out live food. In fact, if a fish or other prey species is too big to be eaten in one meal, otters leave the remains behind, which then becomes available to other scavenging mammals and birds. When a particular food supply dwindles, they will either move to new locations which can provide them with the species they prefer, or they shift to the other prey species that are most abundant in their existing territories. River otters breed in mid-spring. a litter of up to 6 pups is born after a gestation period that can range anywhere from 9 to 13 months. This wide range is the result of delayed implantation, a condition where, as the words would imply, the fertilized egg is delayed in attaching itself to the uterine wall. This condition, found in many types of mammals, is thought to allow the egg to develop to where birth happens at a time that's most favorable for survival of the offspring. The pups are toothless and blind at birth, and don't open their eyes for nearly 2 months. They begin to leave the den shortly after this, though, and begin swimming and eating solid food fairly quickly after that. They stay with the mother until right before the next litter is due to be born. They can have a reasonably long life. Otters in captivity have lived to 25 years of age, and they are capable of living and breeding for more than 20 years in the wild. That said, it's probable that 10 years, or a little more, is a decent average for the lifespan of an otter in the wild. As I mentioned earlier, river otters can be gregarious. They are often found in groups. A family unit is made up of a female and her pups. Sometimes an adult male is present, sometimes not. Other groups that can occur are litters of pups that hang together for a while after the family unit separates, or a group of bachelor males running together. Most otter groups consist of less than 10 animals, though sometimes different groups will come together for short periods of time. Other than a bit of occasional, cooperative fishing, otters do not otherwise cooperate in hunting, nor do they share their plunder. Signs of river otter activity are often readily observable. Trails on land are used over and over, which makes them well defined. This can be especially true over small fingers of land separating different bodies of water. They will travel several miles overland between bodies of water, and the trails between these bodies are used year after year. In the winter, otter tracks and trails are often very visible along rivers and streams. It's easy to spot where they travel between openings in the ice. Other than man, otters have no other significant predators that specifically seek them out. As with anything, they can be and are preyed upon by larger predators when opportunity presents itself, animals such as wolves and bears. But such attacks almost always happen on land, and are, again, meals of opportunity for the larger predator. Far and away, the biggest predators of otters are humans. Otters are a popular target of area trappers and can be taken in both foothold traps and body gripping traps. In fact, for area trappers, November is an exciting month, as it marks the season openings for pretty much all area fur bearers, including otters. The exception is beaver season, which opened last month. Again, chances are pretty good that if you spend any time outdoors at all, and you've lived around the area for more than a few weeks, you've had the chance to see otters. They're abundant enough across the Bristol Bay region, and while they can be cautious, they're normally not all that shy. As I said at the beginning, they can seem both graceful and lighthearted, almost comical at times. They are very much just another Bristol Bay resident, out looking for a fish for supper, like so many of the rest of us often are too. For Field Notes, I'm Terry Fuller. Music from Loon Echo Lake, provided courtesy of Solitudes at www.solitudes.com.